اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. We are continuing with the majlis of Hazrat Imam Rasulullah Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned the kalima tayyibah is such a phrase that has la. The beginning is la. So la means no. So the la actually cuts off all those passions, desires and connections with the makhluk, with the creation. You cut off everything with creation. Because these things are impediments, distractions from connecting with the Creator, connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person says la, so now he has negated everything, put everything aside. But there is an exception. That creation, which is the means, which is an intermediary for an increase in one's connection with the Creator. Connection with such a creation is actually connection with the Creator. It is not considered being connected to makhluk, connected to the creation, because it has become the means of the creation being connected to a greater degree with the real Creator, Khaliqi Hakiki, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With regards to this, there is actually a request from Allah Ta'ala. A request, the banda is requesting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for access to such creations who will cause an increase in the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself made the request. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua. Allahumma ruzukni hubbak. Do Allah, bless me with your love. Wa hubba man yanfa'uni hubbuhu indak. And also the love of that person. Give me the love of those people or that person whose muhabbat for you, whose love for you is an aid and assistance in attaining your muhabbat. Bless me with your love and bless me with the love of those whom by loving them, my love for you will be strengthened. My love for you will be increased. So bless me with those people's love also. So it is proved from this hadith sharif that the love of that makhluk that is of benefit in the love of the Creator, this is not categorized as love for creation. This is in actual fact love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith sharif, love has been interpreted as rizq. Rizq. Allahumma rizukni. O Allah, grant me sustenance. What sustenance? Your love. In a similar manner, that deed which is a cause for an increase in muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, that deed is also for Allah Ta'ala. One is that person or that company or those people whom by being with those people, your love for Allah Ta'ala increases. So having a friendship with them, having a connection with them, is not regarded as having connection with the makhluk. It is regarded as having a connection with Allah Ta'ala. Then also, those deeds which brings about an increase in the muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala, then that deed is also for Allah Ta'ala. As he stated, in one dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. That, oh Allah, bless me with your love. Wa hubba may yuhibbuk. And the love of those who love you. Give me that, the love of those who love you. Wa hubba amali yuqarribuni ila hubbi. And give me the love of such actions which will draw me closer to you. Those actions that will bring me closer to you, give me love for those actions also. Right? So on the one side, we are asking for the company, such company that by keeping that company, my love for Allah Ta'ala would increase. Then we are asking for such a'mal, that by carrying out those a'mal, carrying out those deeds, my love for Allah Ta'ala will increase. So that is on one side of the scale. On the other side is the opposite. The opposite. أَعُوذُ بِعِزَّتِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا عَمِلْتُ. It's a dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I seek protection in your honor from the evil of my deeds. So evil of my deeds, that is those deeds of mine that take me away from Allah Ta'ala. Those deeds of mine that take me away from Allah Ta'ala. And sometimes that deed can outwardly be a form of ibadat. Can be a form of ibadat. But it is taking me away from Allah Ta'ala. It is bringing shirk in my a'mal. Keep that ayat. The whole majlis is on that ayat, what we discussed initially. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Do not create, do not commit shirk in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anyone. In another dua, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ سَاعَةِ السُّوءِ وَمِنْ صَاحِبِ السُّوءِ. That, O Allah, I seek protection in you from the evil hour and from the evil companion. What type of companion? What type of deed? These are such as will bring a decrease in the muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala. That by being in that company is bringing a decrease in the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. By being in doing that deed is taking me away from Allah Ta'ala. One father told me, he said, my son, I saw him going to bed, but not going to bed, going to his cell phone. Right? So entire night he was on his cell phone. When I went to wake him up Fajr time, he was still on his cell phone. Right? Still on his cell phone, whole night on the cell phone playing games. Well, hopefully playing games. Allah knows best, we're playing games or other things, only Allah knows. Right? But we have husn-e zann that it was only games. So, in the minds of the youngsters today now, if the person was playing games the whole night, he played games. Now, the father says, but on your phone the whole night, what wrong did I do? What wrong did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. Why? Because he thinks in his mind, I'm only playing games. I'm only playing games. I didn't look at no pornography. I'm not talking to no girls. I'm not going on any haram sites. I'm only playing games. Right? But that playing games, did it take us closer to Allah Ta'ala or took us away from Allah Ta'ala? No? So that is شَرِّ مَا عَمِلْتِ, isn't it? That's an evil deed because it's taking me away from Allah Ta'ala. It's not taking me to Allah Ta'ala. You see, we judge our actions by the filth that is carrying on. So we say, no, I'm not too bad. One friend told me, he said that some people invited me. I mentioned these things. Nobody knows who I'm talking about. The person who tells me, he'll know. I won't take his name anyway. But I mention this because it is examples for our Islam. We can benefit from these examples. So he says now that no, the friends, they told me, must come and join them for some action cricket or some type of a game, some type of a sport. So he went, but now when he got there, he sees that there's music here, there's alcohol, people are drinking. It's not a good environment, right? But now in the head, what's in the head? Oh, no, I didn't come for all that. I came to play a game, or I came to see a game, right? But that hour or those hours spent there, is it sa'ati su or not? Would you want to die there? Would you want to die in that condition? If you drop dead there, when there's alcohol on top of your head, then maybe, and you know, women that are not dressed properly there and music playing there and all, would we want our ruh to come out there? If a person is sitting, he's playing games, right? With his cell phone, playing whatever games he's playing. Would he want to die in that condition? Would you want the angel of death to meet him in that condition? Right? As compared to, say for example, a person now, he was out in Jamaat, right? He did some gush and everything, came back to the masjid, next thing he had a heart attack and passed away. Isn't that maut better? That maut would be better. A person, he read his Isha namaz, he sat for the ta'neem, maybe there was a Jamaat in the masjid, or there was some bayan or something. He went home, he sat with his parents, he pressed his mother's feet, pressed his father's feet, he spoke to them a little bit, everything nicely. Then he went, made wuzu, he went to sleep, read two rakas namaz, read his duas, everything, and he slept. Right? And never woke up the next morning. Now, how happy, the parents will be grieved that the child passed away, but how much they will be consoled, they will take solace that, hey, Bachu came with me for Maghrib, then he's over Amin also, then he came with me for Isha, we sat for the Ta'neem, he made Nusrat of the Jamaat, or he sat for the Bayan, or whatever, we came home, he made tea for us, told his mother, no, never mind, you sit, I'll make the tea today. He pressed my head, pressed his mother's feet, took our duas, everything, set his alarm clock to wake up for tahajjud, and he went to sleep, and never wake up. Now, take the two mothers, right? There's two mothers, one child, one mother lost a child playing cell phone whole night, and the other mother lost a child like this. Which mother you think would be a happier mother? So, which banda Allah is going to be happier with? So, sa'ati su, sahibi su, that evil hour, evil companion, we're not realizing what he's doing to us. And today, evil, the most evil companion is the cell phone. You don't have to go out. You don't have to have friends around you, nothing. You just got the cell phone. That is the worst companion. The worst companion is the cell phone. Was it Abdullah Magdasam Barakat? This is a hell phone. But you see, this is a hell phone. So how can a person socialize? How can a person be comfortable socializing in company that is taking him away from Allah Ta'ala? How can a person be in a place that's taking the person away from Allah Ta'ala? How can we be comfortable there? Can't be comfortable. Now, before I used to hear this one thing, where people used to say Allah forgive us all, not pointing fingers at anybody, but whenever like, you know, if somebody is giving advice, you know, must do this amal, why don't you start growing your beard, why don't you start doing this? So you used to hear this story that my iman is in my heart. My iman is in my heart. Okay? But now I heard something new. One brother who went into some place that was not conducive. Went into a place that was not conducive. So he may have voiced it to his friends or something, you know, it's not a right place for us to be now. In a way, you all brought me and came here. That's why sometimes it's not nice to be bekar. You know what is bekar? One is a Urdu bekar. Bekar means useless. The other one is bekar, no car. Sometimes when you got no car, you get trapped. Somebody take you somewhere and go. Now you didn't go with your car. Now you, what are you going to do? You're stuck. No? So he may have voiced it to his friends or something that, you know what, it's not a right place. Let's go away from here or whatever. So they told him something about, no, your heart is in Parda. So I don't know what that one means. Like all this fitna, guna, all that. You just keep your heart in Parda now. You don't worry. How the heart going to go in Parda and all that? I don't know. So we, for us, we mustn't point fingers at people. We must regard ourselves to be most weak. I can't even be here for 1 minute, because if I'm here for 1 minute, I may lose my iman. I'm so weak that if I'm here for 1 minute too, I may lose my iman. And see, today's time, we worry too much about, no, this one will get offended, that one will get offended. That's all excuses to put zambak on our own nafs. We just use all that as excuses. The reality of the situation is, I'm enjoying it, I don't want to come out. So I say, no, man, alright, never mind, they brought me. You know, if I'm not here, they may get involved in worse wrong. If I'm not here, they may do more wrong. So by me being around, I'm protecting them. They too getting protected. All these things shaitan puts in the mind. All this is dhoka. All this is dhoka. Right? So always remember, Allah Ta'ala addresses us first. Qu anfusakum, save yourself. First, your first duty is to save yourself. Then wa ahlikum, then your family. So we mustn't company, we mustn't say anybody is evil. We mustn't call anybody evil. Right? But they are engaging in evil actions. Engaging in evil actions, then I can't be there. Because I am very weak. Right? I am very weak, I don't know what will happen to me. Place of evil, I mustn't go there. I don't know what will happen to me. See, if you have got a lot of money in your pocket, right? Maybe you got some valuables by you. Then you won't go walk in a taxi rank. You won't go and walk in the taxi rank. You will take one route that's very safe. You won't go in a place where you can get mugged, you can get pickpocketed or something. Why? Because you realize the value of the money. You realize the value of the diamonds. You realize the value of the gold. But we haven't realized the value of our iman. So that's why we will go with our iman. We will expose our iman to evil. Expose ourselves to evil. Because we're not realizing the value of what Allah Ta'ala gave us. What Allah gave us, we're not realizing the value. One friend of mine, he bought a Porsche, car. He can afford it, Allah Ta'ala blessed him, He had shock, he bought the car. So when he just got the car, so they did some, I don't know what they did, like some protection on the paint, like, you know, something they do on the paint to protect the bodywork or the paint work or whatever. Like a seal or a shield or something, you know. So, the same time, they were supposed to make Safar and come to Masjid al-Taqwa for program. But the forecast was showing rain. So, his younger brother, he kept on teasing him. You didn't want to come with the Porsche. So he didn't want to use the Porsche because it just came back from that, whatever they do with the car. And now for 24 hours or whatever, it mustn't get wet. Except for so many hours, it mustn't get wet. I said, now, you just did that thing, you spent money on it. Now, if it rains, then that thing will be wasted. Right? So, how much of care we take to protect all these things? How much of care we take to protect all these things? Our motor cars, our homes, our businesses, our stock, whatever. We take so much of care. But when it comes to our iman, comes with our iman, we are not worried. The deen Allah Ta'ala has given us, this, the value of it is not there. So we have to value it, we have to treasure it. We never ever put it in a place where it is vulnerable. Where I can be in jeopardy now. I can get involved in guna, I can get involved in wrong. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had asked to be protected from the evil deed and to be protected from the evil hour. That is why by means of the la, la ilaha, all these things have been cut out. They have been negated. And when we are making our zikrullah, don't worry about tune. When making zikrullah, don't worry about the tune. Don't worry about all those things. Make your zikrullah from your heart and have this in your mind. When you are saying la ilaha, everything is negated. We know our weaknesses. If my weakness is my money, I must negate my money. My weakness is my motor car, I must negate it. My weakness is my friends, I must negate it. Everything, when I'm saying la ilaha, this thing can't do. My money can't do, illallah, only Allah can do. My profession can't do, only Allah can do. My intelligence can't do, illallah, only Allah can do. You negate everything. La ilaha, there is no deity. There is nothing. My gaze must be on nothing. Illallah, only Allah. My focus is on Allah Ta'ala. Everything is only for Allah Ta'ala. Nothing else. Gee. Now whatever is good, that hasn't been negated. Everything that is good, that connects you to Allah Ta'ala, that is not negated. In the La is included all evils, all sins. So how can there be continued perpetration of sin? Continued perpetration of sin. Right? See, you got to what Hazrat Rahmatullahi is mentioning, very, very important thing. Let's see, we are humans. We are humans. Insan, the word insan, you find in that word uns. Uns. So uns means love. Uns means love. But also in insan, you get nisyan. Nisyan, forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. There is a saying, awwalun nasi awwalu nasin. The saying in Arabic, that the first like to learn something, to come to know something, to see something, can be the first to forget it. There was one buzur, he had written a kitab on Hajj. And so many people were going for Hajj, they were using his kitab to go for Hajj. Checking up, you know, all the different, what to do, everything. But when he went, he was making tawaf the wrong way. And he went to make the first round, he went the wrong way. And somebody had to tell him, you go that way, not this way. Although he wrote the kitab. So insan can err. What? Insan can err. I remember, I was reading my last sabak, you know, Amma Qara, competing hymns, reading my last sabak. So I think it must have been from the half of Amma Qara. Now you know Amma Qara now you're waiting to finish, you know. So I'm reading by my ustad now. Kim kulyayu al kafirun. Now I'm stuck. And my ustad had a policy, you make one mistake in your sabak, finish, stop. Where you make mistakes, sabak ends there. So in my Quran Sharif, I still got there. Kul ya ayyuha al-kafirun, sabak stopped. So I couldn't finish. I thought I'm going to finish now, literally. I have to stop by Kul ya ayyuha al-kafirun. Now, although you may have read Kul ya ayyuha al-kafirun how many times, but now you're stuck. One day there was one senior alim, and as Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali told him to read Yasin Sharif. Now he is a person whom he used to come Ramadan time, sometimes he used to come for program, and he'd come before Taraweeh. He'd just come there, if Hazrat used to see him, Hazrat would tell him, right, you must perform the Taraweeh today. 20 rakats. And we reading this para, really. He just came for the program. He don't even know what para they're reading that night. Hazrat is just telling him, right, you read, you perform the Taraweeh. Or Hazrat will tell him, right, read 8 rakats. After 8 rakats, I have no carry on. He'll read the whole 20 rakats. He didn't even go over the work. So pakka he knew his Quran Sharif. Right? But one day, Hazrat told him, alright, read Yasin Sharif. There was some halat in the ummat also at that time. Read Yasin Sharif and we make dua. So, he's reading Yasin Sharif and he's getting stuck. Yasin Sharif making mistake. Now, every day he must be reading Yasin Sharif. So, insan can err, can make a mistake. There's no problem with that. For mistakes, we got tawbah, we got istighfar. Allah Ta'ala forgives. That's not a problem. Occasionally falling into a sin, there is no question of a person being called to account for that. Minor lapses will occur. You will make mistakes. Every one of us will make mistakes. Right? Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ. That those people who avoid major sins and indecent behavior, except minor offenses. And now and again they slip up, they make some mistake. But their life is such that they stay away from major gunas. Sometimes they can fall in a major guna also. But it's not their lifestyle. They can make a mistake, a big blunder. But that's not their lifestyle that every day I'm doing this. How come I'm committing a guna, I'm saying it's wrong, I'm making this. Next week I'm doing the same thing again. Next week I'm doing the same thing again. Next week I'm doing the same thing again. Then where is my respect for Allah Ta'ala? Where is my love for Allah Ta'ala? Where is the seriousness of my deen? How come I'm doing the same thing over and over? It's become my lifestyle to commit guna. No, the person all the time is going straight and narrow. But sometimes he relaxes, sometimes he slips, sometimes he falls, he'll make tawbah and istighfar, he'll carry on. Our time is up. Continue with this, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. Bismillah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام اللهم لعن الكفرة الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وشتت شملهم ومزق جمعهم ودمر ديارهم وفرق بينهم وقطع دابرهم اللهم أنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله برحمتك يا رب.